In today's prevalent culture, the institution of the family and faith are under attack. With absolute confidence in the grace and power of God, we at Forming Faithful Families, whose primary mission is strengthening families in the faith, have been inspired to put out into the deep, see Luke 5:4, to do our part to turn this tide. Forming Faithful Families, hosted by James Littleton, is a faithful and trustworthy weekly radio program in service to the new evangelization, saturated with scripture and containing teaching, reflections, anecdotes, and encouragement pertaining to our Catholic faith, with a substantial focus on marriage and family life faith formation.
Welcome to Forming Faithful Families, formingfaithfulfamilies.com. I'm Jim Littleton. Today we continue our reflection upon healing through redemption and resurrection. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, own us, possess us, teach us, move us, heal us in Jesus' name. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 5:5. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this episode, I'd like to talk a bit about purgatory, which is very much apropos to our theme of redemption and resurrection. Why don't we start by turning to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, to the section entitled The Final Purification or Purgatory. Paragraph 1030. All who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation, but after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. End quote. So we see here an assurance that upon arrival in purgatory, we are assured of our eternal salvation. Yes, it is possible to go straight to heaven if already perfectly purified, but that is very possibly not the case for many of us, wherein we still need to undergo a purification process in purgatory. And thank God for purgatory. Otherwise, there would only be two choices upon death: heaven for the perfectly purified and hell for everyone else. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gift of purgatory. In paragraph 1031, the Church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect, which is entirely different from the punishment of the damned. The Church formulated her doctrine of faith on purgatory, especially at the councils of Florence and Trent. The tradition of the Church, by reference to certain texts of Scripture, speaks of a cleansing fire, end quote. So you will notice that the Church's teaching on purgatory is not optional in terms of acceptance by Catholics. This is a doctrine. The Catholic Church's teaching on purgatory is, in fact, a doctrine of faith. So in order to call ourselves Catholic, we must accept this doctrine. And I reiterate the fact that we should be grateful for the existence of purgatory provided by our Lord Jesus for us. Yes, the fire in purgatory is a cleansing fire. This is entirely different from the punishment of the damned. And we pray with confidence in the mercy of our Lord Jesus that you and I will not be damned, but will spend eternity in heaven with God. Though for many of us, perhaps most of us, after this cleansing fire of purgatory. So let's always remember that Jesus came not to save the righteous, but sinners, that is, repentant sinners like you and like me. And as repentant sinners, we can most certainly, with confidence, trust in the abundant mercy of our Lord Jesus. So yes, purgatory is a merciful, but probably in some way a painful place. It is a process of purification, and you know, only pain is really effective in purifying us. Only pain can purify us. We are all in need of purification. But the mixed bag of good news is that those of us whom God has permitted to carry a heavy cross in life, or many heavy crosses perhaps, such as illness, cancer, financial difficulties, broken relationships, the loss of loved ones, various tragedies. Yes, those of us who have carried heavy crosses like this will perhaps have completed much, if not in some cases, all of their purgatory here on earth. Because the pain of the cross draws us closer to Jesus. It somehow mysteriously brings us more completely in union with Jesus. Through the cross, through pain, we really learn how to love more deeply. We learn how to see the face of God in others. We become more forgiving. I have noticed this in the crosses and pain that I have been permitted to endure in my life. And though I've suffered a lot in my life, I have a feeling that if I died at this moment, I'd probably go to purgatory. Of course, only God knows for sure, but perhaps in His mercy, when my time does come to depart this world, purgatory will no longer be necessary for me. Perhaps this will be the case for you too. But I think that purification is a very long process, and it in fact is a lifelong process, and likely even goes beyond that. As we said, for many of us, in the merciful process of purification and purgatory. But the best news is that those of us who do land in purgatory are certainly to be united with those who went straight to heaven in time. Praise Jesus. Listen, there is only one way out of purgatory, and that is the door that leads into heaven. So let us surrender to the plan, the perfect plan of Jesus for each of us, in terms of our purification so that we can be with Him for all eternity. And we don't know how long we'll be in purgatory, any one of us, but however short or long the time, it is going to be nothing. Nothing compared to eternity in heaven. And as for that process of being born into eternity, which we commonly refer to as death, well, when we are at peace with God, it is easier with His help, to abandon and surrender ourselves to this mystery of death, this mystery of being born into eternity when the time comes. But in the meantime, we should not measure our life by its anticipated future length, but we should measure our life by what we have been gifted with today. Today, every moment is a gem. I say this over and over, and I remind myself as well. Every moment is a gem. Every moment is a gift. Yes, every single moment of your life is a gem. We can make that gem with all its intricate and beautiful facets shine in the way we live our lives. Yes, we can make this gem shine brightly. This gem of the present moment with God's essential assistance, which is always available to us, always available to you. May I share this beautiful but somewhat lengthy passage, well worth it, from 1 Corinthians 15, 20-28 with you. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead came also through a human being. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. Christ, the firstfruits, then at His coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when He hands over the kingdom to His God and Father, when He has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for He subjected everything under His feet. But when it says that everything has been subjected, it is clear that it excludes the one who subjected everything to Him. When everything is subjected to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected everything to him so that God may be all in all. End of quote. Yes, how beautiful. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life. Yes, Jesus must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The last enemy to be destroyed is your death, for Jesus subjected everything under his feet. Your death has been subjected under the feet of our Lord Jesus. He stomps on your death. He puts your death to death to give you eternal life. Jesus has all the power, and he has infinite love for you. You have been bought and paid for. He loves you so much, he wants to embrace you and be with you for all eternity. You are so special to Jesus. Believe it. Yes, Jesus, our Lord, puts death to the sword so that you and I may live with him forever, so that God may be all in all. Let's accept this grace. Let's let God be our all. He wants to be our all. He wants to be your all. Jesus, Lord, you are our all. Father, Holy Spirit, you are our all. Most Holy Trinity, you are everything to us, everything to me. John 12:23-26, Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me." End quote. Is this not an amazing example that Jesus left for you and for me to do our best to emulate? Jesus identified his death on the cross as his glorification. Not because his pain and agony was good in itself, but because of the infinite good that would come of it. We are all grains that must die to bear the ultimate fruit. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Littleton, forming faithful families.
You'll find a little bit of yesterday that will delight you today online at the Family Hearth General Store, a nonprofit ministry of forming faithful families, a 501c3 public charity honoring home, faith, and family life. Here, you'll find books, CDs, and programs to strengthen your family in the faith, produced by the parents of 14 children who share what God has taught them along the way. At the Family Hearth General Store online, shop too for inspirational faith-based unique gifts for special family occasions. Victorian replicas, vintage decor, quilts, candles, gourmet coffees and teas, antique samplers, jewelry, classic books, and folk art figurines, plus all kinds of good things that Christian families hold dear. Rediscover those familiar nostalgic treasures and traditions to keep around the family hearth, where old-fashioned values and treasured family traditions live on at FamilyHearthGeneralStore.com.
I'm Jim Littleton, forming faithful families, forming faithfulfamilies.com. We return to our discussion of healing through redemption and resurrection. So when we think about our own death and God's perfect time, our being born into eternity, it is good to remember that Jesus our Lord went before us. Jesus our Lord went before you. Yes, we as servants of Jesus must follow him, and we will be honored by the Father. It's good to remember that we're called to die to ourselves, while we live on earth, to work on not being so self-centered, but rather to be God-centered and other-centered, to truly love our neighbors, and yes, to love even our enemies. This way, we will preserve our life for eternal life through the grace won by our Lord Jesus, this saving grace. We need to try to put the things of this world in proper perspective. We need to use the things of this world for their good purpose, but not be so attached to them that we put them before God. We can accomplish this tall order with God's help, which is always available. Yes, we should never put the things of this world before God. And in facing our mortality, whether sick or healthy, it might be good to reflect on the fact that in 120 years or less, truly a short time in history, not a single person living on this earth out of billions of persons will still be alive. Not one. We are all mortal beings. True, we can very quickly forget this reality, but the truth is we're all mortal beings. Our lifespan is very finite. Many of us, including myself, are way past the halfway mark in terms of the duration of our lives. So it's good to keep this healthy awareness of the fact that one day our personal death will come. Our life here on earth will come to an end. So we're to keep in mind our mortality. We're to keep in mind an awareness that each of us is building his or her eternity with the choices we make in our lives. We will all exit this life being born into eternity and face the judgment of our all-powerful yet merciful God and Savior, Jesus. If only we could keep in mind this inescapable fact in an encouraging but not oppressing way, in a healthy way. Life is truly short and fleeting for the strongest and healthiest of us. And as I said, we need to see each day, each moment as a gift, a unique gem, as an opportunity to grow in love for God and neighbor through our prayers, through the sacraments, through our actions, through our words, through our attitudes, through our facial expressions, through everything. God, please help me to take my own advice. Quote, "But the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed, in the view of the foolish, to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction, but they are in peace." End of quote. Wisdom 3, 1-3. It is profound to contemplate the mystery of the awesome things in store for the just. The just. Who is just? None of us are just by our own merits, but we have been made just by the sacrifice, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, by his grace, his sanctifying grace poured out upon us in the sacraments. So what are we to hope for? Our hope is fulfilled in our Lord Jesus. It is the just one, Jesus, who justifies us, who justifies you, as long as we repent and we seek his mercy. You see, the souls of the just, yes, your soul, is in the hand of God, and he will not let any torment touch you. Well, sure, unbelievers, and we pray for those beloved unbelievers who are our brothers and sisters. Yes, unbelievers look at the dead and think that their passing away was an affliction. They think that those who have died have gone forth from us to utter destruction, but they are wrong. Those who have died in the grace of Jesus are in peace. They are in the hand of God. This is your destiny. This is what you have to look forward to in your personal death. And you don't have to be perfect to have this destiny. We are all broken. We are all fallen. We're human clay. We sin. But you and I are sorry, are we not? We repent. We seek and receive and accept the saving grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus. We take advantage of the sacraments. And if you've not been to confession lately, go. Go receive the abundant mercy of Jesus. Have all of your sins absolved and washed away, and you will be one of those souls at peace. The kind of peace the world does not give. The kind of true peace that only Jesus can offer. Quote, "These are the sort of people some of you were once, but now you have been washed clean and sanctified and justified through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6:11. No, we'll never be perfect on a human level here on earth, though we are called to try our best, motivated by love. But never fear, never fear. Jesus justifies us nonetheless and pours forth his inexhaustible mercy upon us, upon you. We are all in need of his mercy. There is not a single person on earth who is not in need of his mercy. We are all in the same boat, the SS Sinner. In Jesus we find peace. If we can keep the thought with us that each of us will eventually die, sooner or later, currently healthy or not, I think that although we won't become perfect, we will live better, more virtuous lives with our priorities in better order, especially with regard to things like God, family, friends, and generous service to others. I think the light of Jesus will shine more brightly if we can only keep our mortality in healthy perspective. We'll be right back with more. I'm Jim Littleton, formingfaithfulfamilies.com. My wife, Kathleen, is an attorney who gave up her law career when our first child was born. She is an author, spiritual director, and holds a master's in pastoral theology.
Jim and Kathleen Littleton of Forming Faithful Families are available individually or as a couple as speakers for your event. Married for 34 years, they are parents of 19 children, 14 living, and 5 in heaven.
My husband Jim is an entrepreneur, radio host, and cancer sojourner. Together or individually, we offer talks on a variety of Catholic themes relating to marriage and family life.
They also offer a parish-based and small faith community program for marriage and family life formation in service to the new evangelization. Find out more at formingfaithfulfamilies.com.
I'm Jim Littleton, Forming Faithful Families, formingfaithfulfamilies.com. We return to our reflection upon healing through redemption and resurrection, keeping in mind the reality of our eventual death in a balanced and healthy way, I think opens the door for wisdom. Yes, wisdom whom God wishes to pour into our minds and souls. Quote, "Teach us to count how few days we have and so gain wisdom of heart." Psalm 90:12. Yes, this is how we gain wisdom of heart. When, with God's help, we keep in mind how few days we have, how precious those days are, how those days are gems gifted to us from the hands of Jesus. As beautiful as life is here on earth, we are truly healed, ultimately, through death. Yes, at death, we experience our final consequence for original sin. Quote, "For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Genesis 3:19. Death was not in God's original plan for us. He did not want our first parents, Adam and Eve, to sin or to die. But once they sinned, he brought an infinitely great good out of it. Listen to this excerpt from the Exultet of the Easter Vigil Mass. O truly necessary sin of Adam, destroyed completely by the death of Christ. O happy fault that earned so great, so glorious a redeemer. End quote. You see, God our Father is in no way vindictive. He is not vindictive. He is loving and merciful. I am convinced that God our Father would not have permitted death as a consequence of original sin had he not planned an infinitely great good to arise out of it. That is not to say that death is easy, that it is not a difficult cross. It is, but God assures us through his word in Scripture that he is bringing something grand out of it for you and for me. Romans 8:28, quote, "We know that by turning everything to their good, God cooperates with all those who love him, with all those that he has called according to his purpose," end of quote. And when God says everything, he means everything, and everything does not exclude your death. When our time comes, let us find solace in these words of Jesus to the good thief, this thief, this sinner like you and me who turned to the mercy of Jesus, quote, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 23:42-43. Dear masterpiece of Jesus, you and I have nothing to fear when we turn and trust to our glorious Redeemer, Jesus.
You have been listening to Forming Faithful Families, hosted by James Littleton. Visit their website, formingfaithfulfamilies.com. Email them at formingfaithfulfamilies@gmail.com or call 708-334-1988. That's 708-334-1988.